Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 8, we were taught that our righteous prayers are a sweet savor to God. But if we pray for things that we are lusting for, they become an abomination to God. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We see Jesus Christ here ministering for the heirs of salvation. So he's doing a work here that is angelic in fashion. He's doing a ministering work. But there's a specific thing he's doing in this work. That is, he is now doing the work of a high priest. Have you ever thought about this? How many great high priests are there going to be in heaven? Well, only one. And we pray in his name. The interceding angel, the great high priest, who has our prayers in his hands, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one I want interceding for me. Now, precisely who these saints are is not noted in this passage. However, many of the tribulational saints are going through great trial and suffering. And as they suffer, perhaps they might think that their prayers are not heard. Sometimes we have a problem of insincere praying. That is, we pray only in fleshly pride to consume for ourselves things that is only for our benefit, and we're not really putting the glory of God at the forefront. And the truth is, we're not asking for it because we sincerely believe that it is according to God's will. We're asking to consume whatever upon our own lust or for our own agendas. I'm reminded of John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth, that means to settle down and live in a home, okay? He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them to the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now, you cannot glorify God if you don't abide in him. And you abide in Christ through obedience to the Word of God, by doing his will, allowing Christ to be all in all. And if we don't abide, then we're just like old dried up branches that men throw in a fire. Our works will be tried by fire. Is that not interesting that our works are tried by fire? And we find that our works that abide not the fire are like wood, hay, and stubble. They're burnt up. Because so much, even in religion, in church, is to consume it on our lust, or it's our agenda, not God's. Now, insincere praying will not be in any censer in heaven. However, as back in chapter 5 and verse 8, we see that God is pleased when his people pray prayers from a right heart And they are as a sweet incense unto him. It's interesting to me that Proverbs tells us the prayer of the wicked is an abomination. So often countries will have days of prayer, a national day of prayer. And yet the country's not going to repent of it, all of its alcohol, of its immodesty in dress, of its filthy mouths, of its humanism, of its kicking God out of the schools, and of a hundred other sins. Is justification of gambling? And we think that because we've declared it a day of prayer, that God is pleased with that? No. When people pray unwilling to forsake their sin, it is an abomination to God. I heard of one preacher who is well noted in evangelical circles as being an apologist for the faith. That is, he stands and makes good, strong arguments for the existence of God. And yet, this man that so many look to, on a national day of prayer, would not pray in the name of Jesus, because he was afraid that he might offend some others that stood with him but were of a different religion. They might have been Jews, they might have been Hindus or whatever. Well, my friend, that prayer, when he refused, although he may have been an evangelical, when he refused to pray in the name of Jesus, that prayer became an abomination to God. And unlike some preachers do, I'm not going to apologize for those statements because they come from God's Word. We read that much incense is given. Now, evidently, God wants all heaven to know how precious prayers from a right heart are to him. James tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And in heaven, it equals much incense that is lit and goes up as a great savor that all heaven can smell. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we read this. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Well, isn't that interesting how the Lord wrote these names down, these people that were people that thought on him, that prayed to him from a right heart, and he calls them his jewels. The lesson is quite clear. We need to pray more, and we need to pray from a heart that is in submission to Jesus Christ as our Lord. Now, the incense in the tabernacle was not to be used as a perfume. The death penalty was required if they did. You remember the story of Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron? They were struck down by God when they tried to offer a different incense unto the Lord. To this day, I believe that they knew the incense that was offered to the gods of Egypt. And they loved that odor. And perhaps they thought, you know what, this is a great odor and we like it. We think that this would be pleasing to God. Now, God had already told them not to do it. God had already said what he wanted. They thought they knew better than God. And so they decided they were going to design worship for what made them feel good. They were going to design worship for what made them feel great. And what does God do? Well, he sends fire from heaven that consumes both of them and kills them both. And the fact that it was strange incense, which represents prayer, tells us of the negative effect of abominable prayer has with God. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Now, as much as a wicked person's prayer is abominable, doesn't want to hear his voice even, turns to stomach, the prayer of an upright man just delights his soul. In Proverbs 28, verse 9, it says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Someone who turns his ear, in other words, quits obeying the word of God, quits hearing the word of God, just won't have anything to do it, won't live by it. God says, when a person like that begins praying unto me, their prayer is an abomination. Our prayers are not to be flippant. Our prayers are given the sweet incense of the golden altar via the Holy Spirit of God. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, we read this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, I've heard of people that lay on their bodies, on their bellies, and on their face, just laid out prostrate, making groans. And people say, oh, yes, they're slain in the Spirit, or they're praying in the Spirit. Well, it's not your body, and it's not your voice box that's making the groans that cannot be uttered. Remember, when it says it cannot be uttered, that means that a human being cannot utter it. It's something that only God himself can utter. And it's not been uttered for your benefit. Remember when Jesus was praying at the tomb of Lazarus, and the voice of God spake? And my friend, that was to let man know that it was for their sakes that God let them hear this voice. But here, the Holy Spirit is searching the heart of a believer, and oh, he sees those hidden things of darkness. And he begins to intercede before the throne with groanings. And as those things go up before the Lord, those prayers, those needs that deal with that issue of the heart are sent. Not only the cleansing, but the revelation to the believer himself. And so the believer sees these things in his heart as they're revealed. And he repents, and he brings them under the blood of Jesus Christ. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.